Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Thereafter the Lord went to Gaya. There he met Srila Ishwara Puri. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya to offer respectful oblations to his forefathers. This process is called Pindadana. In Vedic society, after the death of a relative, especially one's father or mother, one must go to Gaya and there offer oblations to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, hundreds and thousands of men gather in Gaya daily to offer such oblations or Shraddha. Following this principle, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went there to offer Pinda to his dead father. Fortunately, he met Ishwara Puri there. Om Adnan Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namahum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Dharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gauravaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We are discussing Adi Leela, chapter 17, which is pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in his youth, age 16 onwards. I was asked last night by Nishkinchana Prabhu to substitute for Rupa Vilas Prabhu. He had a family emergency. So, and this morning I was informed by another devotee that I should not be giving class, there's somebody else. So it seems I'm a standby of a standby. And you have to make do with me. So hopefully he'll be all right. Adi Leela speaks about the youth pastimes of the Lord. And this particular chapter discusses how Mahaprabhu started his Sankirtan movement. Chapter 17 is the chapter of inception of Sankirtan movement. To give you the context, so far Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip. And in Navadvip, he, as a child, was considered to be extremely arrogant. In the previous chapters, we saw how he defeated Keshava Kashmiri. So even after defeating Keshava Kashmiri, the Smartha Brahmanas, they considered Mahaprabhu no more than an arrogant scholar. Somebody who is keen to display his, display how learned he is. Nothing more than that. And in fact, they started to accuse Mahaprabhu of not following the Brahmana Dharma, the Smartha Dharma. With those accusations, Mahaprabhu decided it was about time to set foot out of Navadvip and to start the Sankirtan movement. This chapter we discuss in gist, in short, how Mahaprabhu left Navadvip to go to Gaya. And in Gaya he met Ishwara Puri, his spiritual master. Mahaprabhu's going to Gaya happened because Jagannath Mishra, who is Mahaprabhu's father, non-different from Nanda Maharaj in Krishna Loka, he decided to leave his mortal body, disappear from this planet, go back to the Golok Dham. And because of that, on the pretext of doing Pindadana for his father, Mahaprabhu went to Gaya. So the norm was that if your parent, one of your parent dies or both your parent dies, you go to Gaya, the holy city of Gaya, where actually there was a demon called Gayasura who worshipped Lord Vishnu. And as a result of worshipping Lord Vishnu, he attained moksha, although he was a demon. So from his name, Gayasura, the city of Gaya is known. It's about 100 kilometers from Patna, the capital of Bihar. And even today, millions and millions of people go to Gaya every year to offer oblations to their forefathers. There's a river called Phalgu, which flows in Gaya. And there's a beautiful temple of Vishnupada. The lotus feet of Vishnu, the imprints of the lotus feet of Vishnu are in Gaya. And the procedure is, you worship the lotus feet of Vishnu and then perform the last rites, the Shraddha of your forefathers. And the forefathers, they attain a higher destination. So Srila Prabhupada in his purport, he's focusing on Shraddha. The verse is focusing on Gaya. So we'll discuss a few points around that topic. So it is said everyone, every living entity, especially every human being who is born with a debt. This is the Vedic conception. We are all born with a debt. Is that a nice thought? Pleasant thought? Not really. But what are the debt we are born with? Yes, Prabhu. We are born with a debt to the rishis, to the sages. Pitris, the ancestors. Devas, the demigods. Nru or Nara, which means humans. And the fifth is Bhuta. Bhuta meaning other living entities. The reason we are indebted to them is because our existence could not be possible without them. Could we live without two human beings who brought us into this world? Could we have been here? No. The mother and father. So we are indebted. And the wider society, we are indebted. Living entities, we eat plants, we eat food, we eat other jivo jivasya jivanam, Bhagavatam says. One jiva is eating another jiva. That is how all living entities subsist. So we are indebted to other living entities, similarly to rishis, devas and others. So pitris, the forefathers, without them we wouldn't exist. If we think, where were we before our grandfather was born? Think for a moment. Where was I before my grandfather was born? It's a thought which will take you somewhere. Because we are physically in this world because of the Pitris. So there is a society, in the Vedic society, the Smartha Brahmanas. Smartha Brahmanas are the Brahmanas who follow the Smriti. Smriti Shastra. From the word Smriti comes the word Smartha. So there are 28 Smritis. And these Smartha Brahmanas, they follow the Smritis. And the Smriti procedure says that once a person dies, the person has a long and arduous journey to Yamaloka. It is mentioned in the Garuda Purana what that journey looks like. It's quite, it will shake you up if we read that. So, on that journey, the soul is tortured, and that torturous journey to Yamaloka, the descendants of that person, if they make the right prayers, then that person has a chance to have a slightly more peaceful journey. And in fact, he is assured that there will be a journey. He won't be hovering around in this world as a you know, like a ghostly body. So hence, this Martha say, you must do Pindadan. Everyone should do a Pindadan for their forefathers. It's a duty especially of a son. And not any son can do it. It has to be an eligible son, a legitimate son, who is born of a legitimate wife, who has been wed through right Vedic procedure. So there are some norms of who can do the Pindadan as well. Now, the Garuda Purana says, actually it dedicates 35 chapters on the passage of the soul from this world to Yamaloka. Does anyone know how it happens? What happens after death for an ordinary human being? Not so much for the devotee, but for an ordinary person. Would you like to listen? Okay, no response. Yes. Sorry, this class is about death. The reality, as Shakespeare said, as sure as death. That's the only thing we all can be sure about, right? So when a person dies, the Vedic principles are, the first yama, yama is a measure of time, the first 3 hours are very critical. Because the person who's left the body, the Yamadutas have come, they've bound that person up, and the person is not having a form. The person has left through the pranavayu, through the life air, and he has a vayavya sharira. Vayavya sharira means a body which is like airy, which does not have a shape. It is called ativahika sharira. In simple words, it is a body which is carried, which is bound in a, like a box or an instrument. I can describe it, but I don't know what to call it. And the Yamadutas take that personality to Yamaloka immediately in the first 3 hours and present that jiva to Yamaraj. Yamaraj looks at the jiva and he says, yes, it tallies up. This is the right person. You've got the right person. Okay, take him back. Take him back where you got him from, or her from. And leave them there for 12 days. So they immediately bring back the person in. All this happens within the first yama, first 3 hours. They quickly take, Yamaraj confirms this is the right person. But it is said, sometimes Yamaraj says, oh fools, you got the wrong person. Put him back in his body. And so it is said in the Vedic society, in the first 3 hours you don't cremate the person. He may come back to life. And there is lots of Christian tales and Jewish tales of, and so many Hindu tales of how many people. My grandfather passed away and they called everyone, you know, informed everyone. Everyone came to mourn about, you know, he's passed away, he's died. And he stood up. In 45 minutes he was back up. Oh, what a waste of journey, you know. It really happened. Sometimes, you know, when you're too busy, you pick up the wrong things. The Yamadutas also pick up the wrong person. So it is possible. So for first yama, you don't burn the body. But you then have to cremate the body in the next 2 yamas, which is the next 6 hours. So within the first 9 hours, leave the first 3 hours, and then the other 6 hours, you cremate the body. If the body is not cremated according to the right rituals, and I don't want to go through those rituals, but you give 6 pindas. These pindas are associated to different things. The final pinda is on the funeral pyre. You know what a pinda is? It's a ball of rice with water and milk. A ball of rice with water and milk. That's a pinda. So that is offered at the funeral pyre before burning the body. When the body is burned and the pindas have been provided, the body is burned. After the person's head cracks. Sorry, it's very gory. Everything is going to go, right? So at that moment, the person leaves the last hope of trying to re-enter that body. When the Yamadutas have brought the person back for 12 days, the first thing the person tries is to re-enter his body or her body, but realizes it's not possible. So the living entity moans, sitting there waiting. And they have the feeling of thirst, they have the feeling of hunger, but they have no gross body to satisfy the thirst and hunger. So for 11 days, because it's still a vayavya sharira, an airy body, so for 11 days, four pindas are given every day. The first pinda, the first ball of rice, is for the Yamadutas to pacify them. The second ball of rice is for the Preta. This living entity is called Preta. Preta means he who has passed. Literally, in Sanskrit, it means he who has passed or she who has passed. So that Preta being is receiving one portion of the rice. The other two portions, the subtle body of the Preta develops, starting from the head, then neck, then shoulders. So for 11 days, as the pinda is given, the body develops, subtle body develops. On the 11th day, the full body has developed, subtle body. So from the airy body, it has a form now. And on the 12th day, the final pindadan is done. When the hunger has developed on the 11th day, the 12th day, the pindas are offered all together and the person eats. And at that point, that person becomes ready to go on a journey with the Yamadutas. The Yamadutas say, okay, you have seen your relatives. Now you know for real who was really mourning for you. And there might be some who might say, oh, good, she's left. Good, he's left. Or somebody who might seemingly care so much might not even bother to think about you for a moment. And then you realize all that. Look at all this, it's so temporary. I thought this is my son. He's just happy signing checks to take all the money in his bank account. So the person then goes on a long, arduous journey of millions of miles, hundreds of thousands of yojanas to Yamaloka. On that journey, pinda is offered on a regular basis every month, so that on the journey, the living entity is having some comfort. It takes one full year to reach Yamaloka. 348 days. So 348 days to reach Yamaloka. Anyway, I'll stop there. Then there is a whole procedure happening at Yamapuri. But the point is that you go to Gaya, like Mahaprabhu went. Tabete korilo Prabhu, Gaya te gaman. He went to Gaya because in Gaya, the pindas are offered. So is it important to offer these pindas? And what is the Shraddha mantra? One of the most important mantra of Shraddha is from the Rig Veda, Mandala 1st, Sukta 15, Richa 1st. And the mantra goes, Udiratam avara. Those who are lower, those who are sinful, my forefathers, if you've been sinful, let you rise to a higher plane. Utparasa, if you are not so sinful, let you still rise to a higher plane. Unmadhyamaha pitarasomayasaha. Go and become a pitri. So when this soul reaches Yamaloka in 1 year's time, that's why after 1 year, there is another big pinda offered, which is called sapindi karanam. You offer the final pinda after 1 year. It's called a 1 year ceremony. When the personality has reached Yamaloka and has developed the body of a pitri, then the person is called a pitri, not up to 1 year. So the verse says, the Shraddha prayers say, let the person become a pitri very quickly, without the pain, without going through so much of torture. So that's the whole purpose. And it is done by a person who is a legitimate son, born of a legitimate wife. So is Shraddha important? It's a question. Shraddha important? How important is Shraddha for us as Vaishnavas? Yes, no, don't know? Yes? Okay, Shraddha is important. Any other views? Shraddha is important? No? When you are a Vaishnava? Yeah. When you are doing devotional service? There is no obligation towards demigods.
You have no obligations for demigods, for the pitris, and basically to no one, because you're directly serving the Supreme Lord.
Because you're serving the Supreme Lord, there's no obligations left.
I mean, you can do them, but...
Okay, you can do them,
necessary.
But there's no obligation to do them.
Not necessary.
Okay. So we will see what I'd like to do is take you through and establish conclusively whether Shraddha, offering of Pinda, is required or not. And why did Mahaprabhu go? If it is not required, as you say, Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Why did he have to go to Gaya and do the Shraddha? Surely, shouldn't we be following his example? Isn't that a question, a legitimate question? So we'll try and answer that. So actually, it is said, pinda udaka. Udaka means water, and pinda means the rice cake. You know, the small rice cake that you offer. If that is not offered, then it creates a havoc in the life of the soul who is having the journey into the netherworlds. Yeah. Arjuna tells Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, verse 41, of the several reasons he gives as to why he should not be fighting, one reason is, if I fight and kill all the men, what will happen of the women? They will be perhaps claimed by other men in an unrightful manner, and their progeny, their children, would not be legitimate. And if the children are not legitimate, what happens to the forefathers? They will not be released. They will not be liberated. So he says, Shankaro Narakayatva. Shankaraha means those who are mixed, those who are not legitimate. Kulagnanam kulasyacha. They become kulagna. They create havoc in the society. Patanti pitaro yesham. The pitris, they fall down. Patanti pitaro yesham. Why? Lupta pinda udaka kriya. Pindodaka kriya becomes lupta, cannot be performed. And hence, the pitris will suffer. So Krishna, I should not fight. One of the many reasons Arjuna gives, this is one of the reasons. So it seems that doing Shraddha, doing Pinda is important. Arjuna is telling Krishna, I'll give you another evidence. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni, in 7th canto, chapter 14, Narad Muni has given instructions about ideal grihastha life. And in that chapter, Narad Muni says, one of the instructions that he gives, whom does he give these instructions to? Yudhishthir Maharaj. Narad Muni is giving instructions to Yudhishthir Maharaj. So 7th canto, chapter 14, verse number 19. It says, Kuryada Parapakshiyam. At the right moment, Masi Praushtapade Dvijaha, O Brahmana, you have to perform in Praushtapad, which means Bhadrapad, the month of Bhadrapad, the Vedic month. So it comes during September, October. So if you can actually notice when it comes in the manor, when you come to the manor for darshan in that week, those 15 days in fact, you will see that as you enter from the main door there, on both sides of the door, there'll be piles and piles of grains and vegetables and ghee, sugar, flour. People have donated so much because those 15 days are called Pitripaksha. You make offerings to the temple, to the Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, and you make offering of Pinda and Udaka in those 15 days for your forefathers. So it is called Pitripaksha. So you always know. Just think about it. Do you recollect this September also? September, October? There was, so much donation people give. So Bhagavatam says, Masi Praushtapade Dvijaha. Those who are Dvija, they should perform these Pindodaka Samskar. Mahaprabhu is Dvija. He was born in a Dvija family. He was born in a Brahmana family. So, the next sentence is, Shraddham Pritror Yathavittam. Depending on how much money you have to perform Shraddha. Srila Prabhupada once said that one has to perform, his statement was, during the life, the father spends for the son. And after the father has died, the son has to spend behind the father to do the Shraddha ceremony. Prabhupada said this. So, here also it is said, Shraddham Pritror Yatha Vittam. Based on the money you have, you perform Shraddha. Tadbandhunam cha vittavan. You have to perform Shraddha. So it seems Arjuna told Krishna about importance of doing Pindodaka. And then we see that Narad Muni is also telling Yudhishthir Maharaj. So Prabhu, my question is, it must be important then, isn't it? Yeah, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says he'll take away all your sinful reactions. Good, you're standing your ground, which is very good. Yeah, very good. So, but then how we reconcile? How do we reconcile? So actually the same instructions continue. Narad Muni instructing Yudhishthir Maharaj. Please listen carefully. After telling all this, that you must do Shraddha, at the end, in verse number 36 of the same chapter, chapter 14, 7th canto, Narad Muni is telling what is real tarpana. What is real tarpana? How do you really release your forefathers? In fact, for that matter, anyone. He says, Jeevarashi bhir akirna. Jeevarashi bhir akirna. Anda koshangripo mahan. Tan mulatvad achyute jya. This world is like a tree. All the living entities are like tree, like the branches of the tree or the leaves of the tree. And the root is achyuta. Simply by doing achyutejya, by satisfying achyuta, sarva jivatma tarpanam, all the jivatmas are satisfied. You don't have to do pitri tarpan, deva tarpan, manushya tarpan separately. So whereas initially he said you must do it, then he counters it by saying, well, actually if you worship achyuta, everything is done. And then what about the fivefold debts? So actually Karabhajan Muni, one of the Navayogendras, Karabhajan Muni, he says, he's answering the questions of Maharaj Nimi of Videha. Which canto is that? Very famous, 11th canto. So in 11th canto, 5th chapter, verse number 41. Who are the five beings that we are indebted to? Deva, Rishi, Bhuta, Nara and Pitri. Five, right? Listen carefully. Karbhajan Muni says, Devarshi, Bhutaptan, Drinam, Pitrinam. All these five. Na kinkaraha. One should not serve. Nayam Vrini, one is not indebted to Charajan, O King Videha. One is not indebted to these five. If Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam, if one is surrendered to that personality who is the only one whom one should surrender, who is that? Krishna. If one surrenders to him who is worthy of surrender, the Supreme Lord, then that person no longer is indebted to these five. Gato Mukundam Parihrityakartam. This Mukunda, he can award liberation. So what to speak of indebtedness to these five categories? So we see that. And the final example I would like to quote, which is a very direct example. Somebody asked me, if you say that Pindodaka Samskara, as the Smarthas do it, should not be done, then can you give example from Bhagavatam where it is directly prescribed, directly, that instead of doing Pindadan, you should worship Shri Hari. And by worshipping the Lord, Pindadan is already included. You don't have to do it separately. Any direct examples anyone can think of? Prahlad Maharaj. But is there a quote from Prahlad Maharaj direct to that effect? Okay, there is a wonderful quote. Usually this is not, you know, this is quite ignored because it seems like an ordinary quote, but very appropriate. Fourth canto, chapter 21, verse number 25. Prithu Maharaj is being glorified by his praja. Praja means his dependents. Praja also means children. Praja also means his sons and daughters. So as he is being glorified, Prithu Maharaj says, if you really want to do something for me, and if you really want to make sure that after I pass away, he's Shaktyavesh Avatar of the Lord, Prithu Maharaj. But he says, after I pass away, if you want to make sure that I am peaceful, I am happy, what should you do? He says, Tat Praja Bhartru Pindartham. Pindartham. Tat Praja Bhartru Pindartham. For making the offering or giving oblations to me who is maintaining you, Prithu Maharaj says to his praja, for paying oblations to me, swartham evanas eva anasuyavaha, without envy amongst you. Kuruta is, you must do this. Prithu Maharaj is telling his people, you must do this for me. Kuruta actually is imperative mood. Adnartha kala. Imperative, you must do it. Second person, plural. You all must do this. What is he saying? Kuruta adokshaja dhiyaha. Become adokshaja conscious, Krishna conscious. Tarhi me anugraha kritaha. This is your greatest mercy to me. By you becoming Krishna conscious, this will be your greatest mercy to me, Prithu Maharaj says, to his praja. Because for a devotee, to perform Shraddha is just a joke. Actually, it's not required. The Shraddha, the way it is performed by the Smarthas, is not required. Srila Prabhupada would quote a very beautiful verse. He would quote this verse. This verse is, it is possible to quote this verse in many situations. When a husband and wife would come to Srila Prabhupada with some argument saying, Prabhupada, please resolve it, Prabhupada would quote this. Prabhupada would also quote this when he wanted to make a point about offering the pinda to the pitris. So this verse is originally quoted by Chanakya Pandit in Niti Shastra. Chanakya Pandit, the great Chanakya, he appeared in the 4th century BC, so thousands of years ago, right? 4th century BC before Christ, before the Common Era, BCE. So the verse is this, Ajayuddhe, beautiful verse. When two goats are fighting, Ajayuddhe, Rushi Shraddhe, if a sadhu performs Shraddha ceremony, Prabhate Megadambare, in the morning, if you hear the sky rumbling, if two goats are fighting, don't think too much about it. Why? Because they will fight for 1 minute, the next minute they will be chewing grass together. If a rishi is performing Shraddha, don't think much about it. He has already liberated all his ancestors. So his performing of Shraddha is just for a show, just to keep the others happy. If in the morning you hear the sky is rumbling, don't think too much about it, it's not going to rain. In fact, the next line is also very interesting. Dampatyoha kalahe chaiva. If husband and wife are fighting, don't take sides. It's a terrible mistake. Because they'll fight temporarily and then they'll be together. And if you've taken sides, you'll be in trouble. So he says, Dampatyoha kalahe chaiva. Bahavarambho laghukriya. Bahavarambho. It appears to be a great thing, but it starts as a big thing, but it is not to be considered as very important. The point I want to focus on is Rishi Shraddhe. When a sadhu performs Shraddha ceremony, when a devotee performs Shraddha ceremony, it is just a joke. It's superficial. So then the question is, why did Mahaprabhu go? Tabete korila prabhu, gayate gaman. Gayate gaman, he went to Gaya. Why did Mahaprabhu go to Gaya? Now the question still exists. Anyone can answer this? Can anyone answer? Why did Mahaprabhu go to Gaya? If we are saying that for a devotee going to Gaya, doing the pindadan is not necessary. Yes, Prabhu. Prior to meeting his guru. Very good. Elaborate more a little bit. Yes. Under the guise of? Very good. So the external reason was, he did not want the Smartha Brahmanas to criticize him for not following the rules and regulations of the Smarthas. What would happen if the Smarthas would criticize him? They would incur great offense, right? Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Not knowing that he is Krishna, they might criticize him. But in the process of criticizing him, thinking of him as an arrogant boy, they would incur the apradha of criticizing the Lord. So on the guise of following the vidhi of the Smartha, he went to Gaya. This was external reason. The internal reason was, as Ramanujan Prabhu said, Shantanu Prabhu said, the internal reason was to meet his spiritual master, who was in Gaya, Ishwarapuri. So the second line says, Ishwarapuri rasanghe tathai milan. There, Ishwarapuri ra milan. There was milan of Ishwarapuri with Mahaprabhu. So are we making this up as a reason? Is there any substance, is there any, you know, pramana for this? So actually, if you read Amrit Prabhavasya of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, synopsis and commentary, he says on this chapter's synopsis, and Srila Prabhupada quotes it in at the beginning of this chapter, that Vrindavan Das Thakur has written elaborately about the childhood pastimes of the Lord in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And those elements which were either missed, emphasized, only those are being spoken by Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita for the Adi Leela section. So to get our answer, we have to go to Chaitanya Bhagavat. So in Chaitanya Bhagavat is a beautiful verses by Mahaprabhu himself. So listen carefully. This is in Adi Khanda of 17th chapter, verse 50 to 55, I think. Prabhu ko hai gaya jatra shafal amar. When Mahaprabhu met Ishwarpuri, he said, this gaya jatra, this yatra of Gaya, has become fruitful now. Prabhu bole gaya jatra shafal amar, jatakshane dekhilan charana tomar. As soon as I saw your lotus feet, my gaya yatra is fulfilled, is complete. Tirthe pinda dile se nishtare pitrugan. By giving pinda in a tirtha, Gaya tirtha, the forefathers are liberated. They go up. Seho jaro pinda dei tara saijan. To whom you give pinda, only that person gets uplifted. Right? If I feed you, only your belly will be fulfilled. You cannot say, I feed you, everyone is full. No. So, Mahaprabhu is saying, by giving pinda in a tirtha like Gaya tirtha, only the person for whom I have given the pinda, he is uplifted. But, toma dekhilai matra koti pitrigan, 10 million pitris or more are liberated simply by having your darshan. This is the power of a darshan of a pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada. Just by looking at Srila Prabhupada, praying to him, 10 million pitrigan. I'm not saying this. Mahaprabhu says this. When he saw Ishwarapuri, he says, Shai shane sarva bandha paya vimochan. All the 10 million forefathers are liberated by surrendering to a pure devotee. Atoeva tirtha nahe tomara saman. This Gaya tirtha has no equal, cannot equate with you. Tirthera oparamatomi mangala pradhan. You are parama, you are greater than tirtha. Mangala pradhan. You are the real auspiciousness. So Mahaprabhu has himself said in Chaitanya Bhagavat that the real purpose of me coming was to have your darshan. So we know conclusively. So then, should devotees perform shraddha or not? Now, where are we? What do we think? Forget shraddha. Should we perform so many other things that are ritualistic? Are these required? Yes. Yes. Correct. Yes. Correct. So the gentleman is saying that if you do pindadana also, Actually, if you go to Gaya and do Pindadan, you cannot do Pindadan without worshipping Vishnupad. Vishnupad is lotus feet of Vishnu. And even the mantras, they are all focusing on worship of Narayana or Vishnu. So imagine one who is normally in his day-to-day life, every single day, remembering Narayana, remembering Vishnu, remembering Krishna. What is the need for that person? I'll give you a question. Does a person who is drowning in the Ganges need to take bath? Yes or no? Hey, you are drowning in the Ganges. No, now I have to go out and take bath. What nonsense is this? Yeah? So, but still sometimes we see devotees perform some ritualistic activity. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said in one of the commentaries in the third canto, he says, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that even if a person is performing Durga Puja for some reason, and he is a devotee, but he is performing Durga Puja, one should not criticize him. As long as he is doing it only so as to not disturb his other wider family. So Baldev Vidya Bhushan, in his Govinda Bhashya, this we must remember, this Siddhanta, what I'm just going to mention is a very important Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. Baldev Vidya Bhushan divides all devotees into three categories. No, it is not Uttama Adhikari, Madhyama and Kanishtha. He divides all devotees into three categories. The first category of devotee is called Swanishtha devotee. Swanishtha means he has faith in the process of bhakti. But he also has faith in these other things. He thinks, oh, if I don't do my astrology and if I don't consult the charts, then something will go wrong. So I have to, according to the chart it says, I have to wear, a gem for Brihaspati, a gem for Saturn. So let me do that. Let me chant some mantras of Saturn also, because my Shani period is going on. Sade Sati is going on. So he has faith, but I will also chant my rounds. He has faith. Sanishta Bhakta has faith in the process of devotional service, but he also has faith in other things. Oh, I must follow Shraddha ceremony and do the Smartha Vidhi of Shraddha. This is Sanishta Bhakta. Baldev Vidya Bhushan says, such a devotee, after a long, arduous journey of going through various planets, will ultimately reach Brahmaloka. And then he may realize there is higher and he may go above. This is Sanishta Bhakta. And actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written in Bhakti Tattva Vivek. He says that such a devotee who has bhakti as gauna vritti. Bhakti is gauna. Gauna means secondary. Bhakti is secondary. No, I'm chanting my rounds, but I don't chant between 4 a.m. and 11. One devotee I met in India, a very nice devotee, businessman. He said, I chant my rounds, but I don't chant between 4 a.m. and 11 a.m. I said, why? He said, no, that period is not right. Currently, Rahu is going on in that period. I don't chant in that period. After 11 I chant. So he has faith in chanting, but he also has faith in Rahu. He has two masters, Krishna and Rahu. Even Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, if you read the Bible, the New Testament, I think it is the book of John, I think. He said, don't serve two masters. Pick one and just follow him. The problem of a Sanishta Bhakta is bhakti is there as one of the things amongst many. So he needs so many things surrounding him. other than bhakti. But then there is a higher personality who is parinishtha, nishthita. Parinishthita is the second category. Parinishthita bhakta. Parinishthita bhakta is he or she who performs devotional service as primary. Mahamantra is primary. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in fact, Baldev Vidya Bhushan says, if he finds time, or if he has social pressures, then he will do some other karmas also. You understand? If he finds time, or if he has social pressure. Like if you are surrounded by certain kind of family members, they say, you have to do this puja, otherwise all evil will come on you, come upon you. So please do this puja. Okay, we'll do it. Too much pressure, okay. But you understand that this is of no consequence compared to bhakti of the Lord. So, Prabhupada was given once one ring for Jupiter, Guru, Brihaspati. So he put the ring on. They said, oh, this is good for you, Swamiji. Okay, he put it on. No problem. Then one disciple met Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, we're having so much troubles with the center. Prabhupada removed the ring. Sell this off. Use this for. So he said, okay, I'll make use of it. Another time, one brahmachari was having, you know, I can't remember the exact episode, but there was something need to be tied properly. And Prabhupada asked that brahmachari, remove your Brahmin thread. Come on, remove it. And he removed it and Prabhupada said, tie it. He said, oh, Brahmin thread, no Brahmin thread, it's okay. Vaishnava is superior to Brahmana. Vaishnava means much superior to Brahmana. Brahmana, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established. Before that, if you look at the Goswamis, six Goswamis, or if you look at Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself, you will not see Brahmana thread. He didn't wear. He said Vaishnava. In fact, Vishwanath Chakri Thakur writes in one place, when a person would become a Vaishnava during Vishwanath Chakri Thakur's time, one of the things they would do is they would break their Brahmin thread and put in the Ganges. Even if they were born in Brahmin family, because of no consequence. Of course, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not want the Vaishnavas to be criticized by the so-called Brahmanas. So he reinstituted the wearing of the Brahmin thread. And Srila Prabhupada continued that, and we continue doing that. And we must respect that. So I'm not promoting or propagating that we should not be respectful to the Brahmana Vaishnavas. I'm not saying that. I'm just giving the historical context. And establishing, as Mahaprabhu has said. So Parinishthita is the second category. The third category of devotee is Nirapeksha. So Parinishthita is a Grihastha. Or a Brahmachari. Or a Vanaprasthi. Who may do some rituals not to disturb the society. But a Nirapeksha, one who is a sannyasi, it is said he should not be performing any pindodaka kriya. Or any kriya is not badhaka for him, is not compulsory for him. So this is extremely, in fact I had some other other quotes from Gopala Bhatta Goswami in Hari Bhakti Vilas. And Sanatana Goswami's commentary, Digdarshini Tika, also supports that. But I will finish with one wonderful quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Before doing that, you know, the real challenge that we have is that our Shraddha, our faith in devotional service is weak. This is the real challenge. Somebody told me that, well, you have to perform Shraddha, because if you don't perform Shraddha, the forefathers will suffer. Yes, you have to chant Hare Krishna also. But I'm not pure. I'm not pure. So, you know, my chanting of Hare Krishna will not help my forefathers. Actually, it is not you. It is the Mahamantra that is helping the forefathers. Mahamantra is pure. And if you still argue, if somebody still argues, that the performer is not pure. I'm chanting Mahamantra, but I'm not pure. So it will not be effective. It still fails, the argument fails, because are you then saying you will pay some Brahmana to chant some Shraddha mantras, do some Smartha Kriya, and that person, that performer, saying those Shraddha mantras is more pure than you trying to follow the four principles and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra? No. That defeats the purpose. It is like saying, I'm very hungry, Prabhu. Can you please, I give you five pounds. Can you please buy something from Radharani Bakery and eat? I'm very hungry. Aray, how will that work? I'm paying the Brahmana. I know one person in my family, very rich person. He said, oh, my mother has died. So he paid 108 Brahmanas to chant Srimad Bhagavatam for his mother. When while they were doing that, he was on the stock market trying to make some money. He said, so I said, this is like, you know, giving money to your friend. Please eat. I'm very hungry. You please eat. No, this doesn't work. Taking Harinam is far superior to anything else. And hence, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced Vaishnava Shraddha. So how should Shraddha be performed by Vaishnava? I will tell you that. For us, when the forefathers, when our parents, our relatives, somebody has passed away, the Vaishnava, they do three things. They worship the Lord, and then after offering the lamp to the Lord, they offer that lamp to the photo of the forefather. They feed Mahaprasad, which is offered to the Lord, Mahaprasad, to the forefathers. And they do Harinam Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And feed the devotees. This is our Shraddha procedure. Feeding devotees, doing Harinam Sankirtan. And in fact, Gopala Bhatta Goswami and Sanatana Goswami has said, Pitrunuddishya yai puja keshavasya krita narai tyaktva te narakim pidam muktim yanti mahamune. There is no doubt, Hari Bhakti Vilas, Gopala Bhatta Goswami says, don't doubt, if you perform puja of Vishnu, of Krishna, no need of pindadan. Sanatana Goswami in his commentary, he emphasizes, it'll be foolish to perform pindadan by Smartha Vidhi, if you are a devotee. Finally, I'll read the words of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and we'll conclude. Exactly 99 years ago, so which year would that be? 1918. November, this is November. In November 1918, Shriman Vanamali Das Adhikari, one of the grihastha disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, invited Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to come to perform the ceremony of his deceased father. So Vanamali Das Adhikari's father had passed away in Jagannath Puri, and he invited his guru Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to perform the Shraddha ceremony. So we will hear what Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said at that time. Would you like to hear? Yeah, very short, it's very short, but very important. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told Vanamali Das Adhikari, whose father had passed away in Jagannath Puri, while chanting Mahamantra. He said, your father has attained the eternal Jagannath Puri. Puri is directly Vaikuntha. Whoever quits the body while chanting the holy names attains the eternal abode of the Lord. Anything done according to mundane considerations, results in rebirth in the material world. The various Vedic rites award material sense objects as karmic results, but devotees dedicated to the chanting of the holy names should offer oblations to their deceased ancestors with the Lord's prasad. To make oblations with any other kind of foodstuff is not indicative of intelligence. Fruitive rituals are an invitation to entanglement in the consequences of action. So just think about it. Even if you do the Shraddha ceremony with the Pindadan, the mantras of Shraddha ceremony say, please give him another body. You are asking for your forefathers to get another body. Please make him suffer. Another animal, another beast, another mosquito. You know. So here, Siddhanta Swami Thakur is saying, persons who chant Harinam do not consider enjoying such results. Yet, their relatives are obliged to offer bhoga to the Lord and then make an oblation with the prasad for the well-being of the departed soul. As part of the same procedure, they should invite Vaishnavas and satisfy them with prasad and Harinam Yadna, sacrifice of chanting the holy names, should also be held. Our judgment is approved by the pure devotional scriptures, Siddhanta Swami Thakur says. What I am saying, he says, is approved by pure devotional scriptures. Those who deem mixed devotion best may have a different understanding. According to their state of advancement, we cannot respect that. So he's saying, somebody might have a mixed understanding. No, you should do both, this, that. Siddhanta Swami Thakur says, we cannot respect that. Pure devotional service. And then he says, an initiated devotee who has taken shelter of the holy name should offer oblations of Mahaprasad to his forefathers on the 11th day after the forefathers' death. Thereafter he should feed pure devotee Brahmanas with Mahaprasad. It is good if this is done in the mutt or the temple. Those who are not initiated devotees or do not chant Harinam, or who are unable to tolerate the arrow-like words of society, can offer oblations to their forefathers according to the prescribed smartha method. Those who are non-devotees, they can do smartha method. Or if you cannot tolerate people, you know, society, if you're from an Indian society, Indian body, then non-devotees should, according to the prescription for the Shudras, for 30 days exhibit the signs of mourning and eat only Havishyanna once daily. But devotees in the shelter of the holy name need not worry about Smartha Vidhi and should honor Mahaprasad every day. Please rid yourself of the superstition that a Vaishnava becomes a ghost after death and that this Shraddha ceremony must be performed. The arrangement provided in the Smart system are established according to one's position in society. Performing Smartha Shraddha causes one to gain entry into the mother's womb. The Lord's devotee never accepts such a system, knowing it to be opposed to the Shastra, and the Smarthas cannot comprehend the understanding of liberated souls. So, in fact, the Smartha system of today is followed based on the system set out by Raghunandan Pandit. And he has said things like, even on Ekadashi, you have to offer Shraddha. If your forefathers have died in Ekadashi, you have to offer Shraddha on Ekadashi also. Jiva Goswami has commented and said, this is sinful. If you read, I think it is 7th canto, 14th chapter, one of the purports, verse 36 or 40, Srila Prabhupada also says, that those who follow Smartha ceremonies, they are doomed. So why did Mahaprabhu go there? Mahaprabhu went to Gaya to, not to perform the Smartha ceremony at Gaya. He might have done that just to not disturb the society, but the real purpose was to meet his spiritual master. And it is only the power of the Mahamantra, only and only pure devotional service, that is fully sufficient for us to go back to Godhead. Nothing else is needed. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki jai.